Good morning. Good morning. Let's pray. Praise God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. You're so good to us. Lord, help us to honor you with our lives, with our attention, in our jobs, Lord, in our families, within our friendships, in this church, when we worship you. Let every aspect of our lives be a form of worship done from our heart in sincerity, Lord, that always points and redirects to you. To you be all the glory. Give us revelation through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, you guys found out, was my mother's birthday. I want that. Yep. We celebrate all week long, or sometimes we have a ton of birthdays in April and in December. So we just celebrate all month long because it gets crazy busy, right? So it got me thinking about my mother and her birthday. And first of all, when it's someone's birthday that you really, really love, you want to do something special for them, right? So now you also have to know their love language, right? So if you know my mom and you know her love language, it's not so much like a big, fancy, expensive gift. That's not her love language. It's acts of service. It is, but I want to tell you this. It's not in the way you think, but it's simple things done with your whole heart. And so with my mother, I cooked a leg of lamb, and it was a bananas weekend, but we cooked a leg of lamb and tons of veggies because my mom loves vegetables. Actually, our whole Cashman side of the family loves vegetables. Like, my husband married me. He's like, there are like four vegetables out here. I was like, it's just what we do. So we did lots of vegetables, and I made a pavlova, which is like a fancy dessert that's on the, you can think of, it looks a little healthy, you know, and you piled it with like whipped cream, which is healthy, right, and berries and stuff. And I wanted to do something that my mom would really enjoy. And it also got me thinking about epic family birthday fails. Anybody have some of those? I never forgot the day that my father gave my mom a mountain bike. Yes, and well, let's just think about that, because does my mother's love language look like mountain biking? Probably not. And I remember I was a small child at the time, and I was like, yeah, mountain bike, because what? We had mountain bikes, and you know, mom always supported us. Very supportive. Mothers, how many people are super supportive of your kid having a bike, because then it keeps them busy, and you can have quiet time, which is just what you need, you know? And so that was mom's time to, you know, just connect with God, get things done. Mom needs time, right? So dad now gave her a mountain bike, and guess what? Now there's no excuse to not go on the family bike ride. But as a child, I was like, this was probably not the smartest decision. And I realized why that happened a week later, because then my dad showed up with a mountain bike. Because my dad really wanted a mountain bike. So he gave my mom a mountain bike. So he had an excuse to get a mountain bike. Raise your hand if you've been in some family scenarios like this. Yes, yes. So, you know, I think we've all learned lessons that sometimes we give people the gift that we really want or that we really want to give. How about it was a really good deal? We had a double coupon. Come on, come on. All right. Which brings me to my other story is, well, first of all, I want to say this before I go into this. It is really important to pay attention to the people that you love and care about and find out what they really like, what they're interested in, what their passions are. And you have to pay attention, right? And to that person that you love, it shows them they really, really love me selflessly, right? They notice me. They care. And today's title is Worship Preferences. And you can just pray for me because, man, I like could chop off like half my sermon here. But I want to kind of give you some examples of how it'll help us understand how to worship God. It is important to not project on the ones we love what we think they like. It is important to study and pay attention and show them love the way they want to be loved. How many people know in relationships, whether it be friendships or marriages, if you don't show that other person love and respect the way they want to be, you're going to tank your relationship. Real talk, come on. Whether you had a friend or a spouse, like if you've ever had someone that just selfishly just loves you the way they want to, but it's not the way that you want that, right? So for men, it's important to give words of honor and respect, right? Because you can say you love them, but if you don't treat them with honor and respect, it doesn't matter what you say, right? And come on, the ways to woman's heart, you know, yes, we want to hear I love you, but oh goodness, if you remember, like for Valentine's Day, we do like little homemade cards. And Brad always gets me chocolate-covered strawberries. And I'll tell you, listen, I don't care for milk chocolate, and this will go into my next story. He knows that. So he gets the dark chocolate ones because he sees me. He notices me. You know, my friends that know me for my birthday, if we go out for, I'm not a gift person per se. And it's fine, however you want to honor and love someone. But I'm like, just go out to lunch with me. And if you can't afford that, just come on over to my house. Like, my love language is that quality time. And man, Brad eats sushi for me every year on my birthday. And that is a sacrifice of love, okay? We pray over it, okay? All right, so this brings me to my other family member of epic fail birthday gifts. Okay, I had a family member, no names, because it's a small church. I had a family member that had a reputation of being an absolutely terrible gift giver. Like, you know, like, I remember my parents would coach us when birthdays would come around and just be like, hey, you know what, it's not about the gift. Like, we learned to kind of keep our expectations low, and that sounds terrible, but I'm just being real. They're a wonderful person, and honestly, to us and our family culture, we just wanted them to be at our birthday. That's not really within our culture of our family, fancy gifts or anything like that. So we were just happy they turned up. But we found out it didn't matter how many times they asked what you wanted, if they did. If you told them what you really, really wanted, they were not going to show up with that. Like, it just wasn't going to happen because they gave you the gift that they wanted to give you. Anybody have a family member like that? Okay. And normally it was because it was a really great deal, or it was a book that they read that they really thought you needed to read. Anyone? Yeah, yep, okay. Listen, they loved us. Like I said, we were just so happy that they showed up. That meant mostly to us. But we really just wanted them to pay attention to our passions, to our interests, to our preferences, to what we really, really liked, right? And even if it was just coming with us to do something we liked, like mountain biking. No, I'm joking. Okay. My mom's such a trooper. She would go on those rides with us because my mom's so sweet. Now, speaking of my mother, and I'll say this once again, another epic fail to my mom. And by the way, we love my mom. Raise your hand if you love my mom. She's such an incredible pastor and friend and mother. I remember, my mom and I laugh about this, the one day that, like I said, this notorious, terrible gift giver, they love to re-gift. Anyone have a re-gift? She had several drawers of the re-gift drawers. And really, it was just because, you know, it cost you time, and then you didn't have to run to the store, and you didn't have to go to the ATM. You could just open up a drawer and re-gift something that you wanted to give, sometimes get rid of. And I remember the year that my mom opened up the gift from this particular person, and it was something she had given them years ago. And it was even used. Like, she found Food Flex on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, epic fail. My mom was so kind and gracious. She just smiled and laughed. But you know what? This person always showed up. And that meant more. When you've had family members that have passed before their time, it's not about what they bring you. It's them just being. And my mom laughed to herself because that actually meant so much to her that she would just, that this person would just come and be with her as a family member. So as we laugh and kind of joke through this, so today we're talking about this really simply. Do you ever wonder how God wants to be loved? Ever thought about that? How does the Lord want to be loved? And when you do a deep dive study on this, there are very obvious things that come up in Scripture because Scripture is God's love letters to us, telling us how much he loves us and how much he's laid his life down for us, the sacrifices that he's set up from Genesis to Revelation, but it also tells us how he'd like to be loved. And it doesn't say chocolate-covered strawberries in there, or in, you know, mom's case, do the laundry. If you do the laundry, and actually in my house, my husband just folds the clothes for me without asking, oh my gosh, this is the greatest gift of all. All right. So when we're given opportunities to worship him, and don't worry, I'm going to talk about different ways to worship. Ask yourself, how does the Lord want to be loved? How does he want to be worshiped? How does he want to be honored and showed reverence and respect? So 2 Samuel 24:24, and I just kind of finished up a study on the tabernacle of David and the covenant of David. So I'm going to kind of weave in the tabernacle of David's forms of worship in this lesson here. David said this, and he is what? A worshiping warrior king. This man literally wrote the book on worship, because he loved hanging out with the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart, and he realized, wow, God, showed up with the chocolate-covered strawberries. God really is into those. No, not really. But he showed up, and he saw God's response. He really, really appreciated these ways of worship. So the number one thing David really noticed, 2 Samuel 24:24, he said this, "I cannot offer the Lord my God a sacrifice that cost me nothing." Don't open up the drawer and throw out what's convenient, what's left over, what you feel like giving. And listen, he loved us, therefore we love him. He loved us first. He's going to love you no matter what. Like my amazing mother loved no matter what the gift was, because she was just really happy to be with them. But isn't it great to honor your mother that has laid her life down to sacrifice for you, and pay attention and study and find out how she really wants to be loved, how she wants to be shown honor and love and respect. So we're going to talk about that today. So I'm just saying this. We're talking about worship and worship preferences. And the key word today is preferences. You know, let's just be real. When you have a bad day and we come into the house to worship, we often, you know, just kind of, milk our coffee and make our grocery list in our mind or figure out our fantasy football team picks, you know, because we don't feel like it. Just the truth. And on a good day, oftentimes we stand politely and we might mumble a few lyrics on the screen and we show, you know, a silent support to the team. And today we are going to do a deep dive and really get quiet and dig through the word and go, but Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that sent his son to die for me, that took my place on the cross and rose again to a new life and gave me a whole new life where all my sins, past, present, and future, were totally forgiven. How do you want me to worship you? Romans 12:1-2 says, make your life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It's our only reasonable form of worship. It's, translations say, the least we could do is worship him with every aspect of our life. And once again, wouldn't it be nice to note how he likes to be loved? All right, so I want to say this. Worship is both internal and external. There is, number one, the most important thing is what? Your heart. Because you can do things on the outside with no heart connection and no sincerity. And come on, you ever been in a relationship where someone gives you a pricey gift? Yeah, it cost them, but their heart wasn't in it. Come on. It's about the heart. It's not about how fancy or expensive things are, but it's about the heart. But I'll say this. When you really, really love someone, it naturally overflows into some physical gestures, right? Gestures. So, you know, I love that game, right? Minutolas, no. I was like, can we play this game? This is great. All right. So, for instance, like there are physical gestures. We're just going to forget that word. But I love a good hug and kiss from my husband, right? Come on, men. Who likes a steak dinner? Come on. Come on, right? In my family, if it's Father's Day, birthday, or, you know, just a day, I just want to love and honor my husband. The man loves meat, and I am not going to serve him up 20 different vegetables. Sometimes it's potatoes, which is a vegetable, so I hear. Or tater tots, we found out this week, is a vegetable, okay? All right. It's a natural overflow. So what's interesting is this word worship. The word worship is a Greek word, proskuneo. Proskenein. In the New Testament, it actually means to prostrate oneself. To lay yourself down low. Whether it be to get on your knees or on your face. And how many people know over thousands of years, it's a sign of surrender and humility. And I might get into this later in my message, but this word is listed in the New Testament 59 times. So I think we have a lot of scriptural precedents that Jesus loves when we humble ourselves. And, you know, it's interesting. We like to kind of blow this off. In certain churches, they continue to kneel in capacities, but it's throughout the New Testament here. And it's 24 times in the book of Revelation, which is like a really big deal book, okay? So this word worship means to lay yourself down as a sign of surrender, as a sign of honor, right? And when we have an internal love and an internal respect and honor truly for the Lord, it will overflow naturally in the external, won't it? Think about it. Like I said, you know, in a relationship with my husband, I love a good hug, you know? Or how many of you like a good steak dinner? It's good to pay attention to these things. All right. So I want to say this. Oftentimes we do make worship time all about us because we like to project our likes. It's just human nature. Humans are naturally a little on the selfish side, right? Okay. It is what it is. And I felt like the Lord saying, be careful how I say this. I'm not going to get too specific. But if you've been around, I think you'll know what I'm saying here. I've seen it all. Anyone feel like they've kind of seen it all in church culture? I mean, I've seen all levels of weird. I've seen levels of weird I won't even mention from the pulpit because, listen, God loves us, period, right? Come on. Like my mom, you know, even when we do it the way we want to do it, just happy that we're with you. But we feel the most honored and seen when we worship him the way we want to be worshiped. And I've seen a lot of people that are just bored. Anybody ever met a bored Christian? I'll tell you, they're very interesting. They like to criticize the free coffee and, you know, just nitpick everything. Bored Christians just gossip, complain, whatever. And sometimes they really love to make worship all about them because they're bored. And I've seen weird people make things weird. That wouldn't be weird if you just stop making it weird. You're being weird, okay? All right, so I'm being careful. You see why the Lord's saying, Sherry, be careful. I'm treading carefully on this one. I think sometimes people, when they're really bored, like to make things all about them and their preferences. And they have preferred forms of creative expression. You see, I'm carefully saying this. They have a preferred form of creative expression. And it's something that they just are really good at and they really, really like. And they would like that to be a major production and the focal point of the service. You guys see where I'm going? And it's really just the way they love worshiping the Lord. And in everything we do, we should worship the Lord, right? Come on, if you're a craftsman, do it with honor, integrity, and build it well, right? Come on, people that have a trade, I don't care if you're a plumber, do it well. Do it with excellence and integrity unto the Lord, right? Okay, and how many people know when we have a plumbing problem at YCF, you could fix that and honor and worship the Lord, okay? But we're also not going to have 20 toilets up at the front and just pretend to plumb them, you know, because we'd like a major production around the way we like. Come on, you follow me? I'm saying these because we can laugh at it a little bit. All right. So, like I said, there are ways we like to worship the Lord, and he appreciates that, but there are specific ways he wants it to be shown to him. And if we make the way that our creative expression, we want it to be the focal point. We want everyone to do it. Sometimes we kind of lose our way. Does that make sense? Am I saying this with honor and integrity? Okay. I've seen cultural trends in worship come and go. Anyone else besides me? Just trends. It's within the culture. And I think sometimes it's sad because we get caught up in this production with our preferences, and sometimes we kind of miss the point, and it becomes then distracting towards other people because it was a cultural trend. You know, I get it. Right? Or like I said, we want 20 toilets up here and everybody to plumb a toilet. I'm joking, but because I don't want to call out any particular ones. You follow me? I want to say this and all, because listen, it's how we worship the Lord. All right? All right. You know, you see why the Lord's saying, just be careful how we say these things. Okay. I think it's really important when we do things to the Lord from a heart of honor and reverence towards the Lord. It's something that corporately unites everyone. Does that make sense? There's like a time and a place for everything. But isn't it cool when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that time we all do it together in the spirit of unity, right? So there's a time to like shout unto the Lord in victory, right? But it's probably not in the middle of the sweet song in that musical interlude where we're just hearing from the Lord and being reverent. Does that make sense? If in that like reverent, sweet place of worship, someone's like, but I just want to whistle as loud as I can. Probably not the right time. And we've seen it all. Literally. Right, Mom? Do people, you remember those like, you know, the coach whistles? Some people came in here. Like, how many were? I wasn't here at that time. Like 7 of them, something like that. They sat in the back and they're like, can we do this during the worship service? I was like, not. Listen, if you want to do that, okay, I get that. But probably not the time. It's like the toilets up front. Like, you know what? If we want to have 20 people, you know, doing, it's probably going to be distracting. But if you want to do that at home, you know, I get it. You know, all right,
You follow me. You follow me. All right. All right, so what are we going to do here? How do we discern what is God-centered worship that corporately unites everyone and brings the focus of the whole congregation to God? How do we discern which is which? All right, so we're going to go to Scripture, right? We're going to go to God's love letters to us, and we're going to look what is specifically done in the New Testament, and also if it wasn't specifically disbanded in the Old Testament, there's a time and a space for everything. You hear me? And we have to be discerning. And sometimes we look to mature spiritual leadership to kind of figure out where and how we do that. All right. So last week we talked about the Tabernacle of David, and this is where I want to go. All right. So the Tabernacle of David was prophesied throughout the Old Testament that there was going to be, in the days of the New Covenant, a return to the worship of the Tabernacle of David. And we found out it was full of really amazing things like instruments and singing and dancing and shouting. But there was decency and order, and there was a time and a place for everything. And it was corporately done as a unified whole. It wasn't a circus, but man, it was glorious. And at times it was loud, and at times it was reverent. And it was then prophesied in Acts chapter 15, 17, that when they were trying to figure out the new covenant with all these new believers and these Gentiles, and now, you know, they wrote the book of Hebrews because they didn't have to do all the animal sacrifices anymore because the ultimate sacrifice came, Jesus himself. Pay the price. We don't have to do those bloody sacrifices anymore. Incredible. So how do we worship God? And they go, we're going to bring and rebuild and reestablish the Tabernacle of David to worship the Lord. And man, it was fun. Do you know you can have fun in church? As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, it was creative. Isn't that beautiful? But it wasn't distracting from the presence of the Lord. It was a unifying thing in the whole body. And we learn in our spiritual maturity the time and the place. And guys, it's a journey for all of us, isn't it? All right, so in the Tabernacle of David, this is coming. And I want to say this. You know, we have certain things in our church culture. There are trends. Guys, how about, listen, I put the hand up, right, Mom? The hand up, you know. There are things in church culture now that definitely weren't going on 20, 30 years ago. But then 20, 30 years ago, they were like, there are things going on in church culture that they weren't doing 20, 30 years ago. And each generation has a preference. But it's about the heart and a time and a place and sensitivity for everything. You know, how do I say this? I don't think God really cares about the fog machine and the laser light shows, and the light serve, you know, we have lots of windows here, or the ones that are in a very dark auditorium. It's just the culture. It's just the building of the day, okay? But there's a time and a place that we do it in honor and reverence and mindfulness, okay? So different people and different generations, how about this, have different preferences in music. Everybody just say amen. Just let it be so. It is what it is. Did you know God created you as an individual that you are allowed to like a certain type of music, and he's not going to make you have to listen to the kind of music you don't like. Brad was playing some music at the house, and I was like, it had a little screamo in it. How many people love screamo music? And I was like, Brad, I honor you, powering through this song, and now can we just find something we both like, okay? Isn't it great that I honor that my husband has preferences, right? And he knows that I have preferences as well. All right, so in generations, musical preference, you know, there's the big band era. If you know Brenton loves big band music, okay? And you know what? I honor and respect that Brenton loves that, and he plays it with his whole heart. And Brenton, I know that you play, and you do it with character and integrity unto the Lord, and that's beautiful. But just there's different generations. How many people know there's a generation a long time ago that they took... the bar songs of that day, because those are the songs that everybody knew. You know, follow me. Okay? And they just changed the lyrics to scriptural lyrics to glorify God. Those are where the hymns came from. Did you know that's where those hymns came from? Okay? And you know, it's so funny. I'm sure people of the day were like, how dare you? I can't believe you're doing this. And later, it was very interesting. Religious people then got stuck because that was their cultural preference, and they loved it. And then they use Jesus as an excuse. Don't do that. Religion, what, likes to take scriptures out of context and take people out of context of what they say for their own agenda. And here's what happened. Some people were like, it was really their preference. And then they said, if you bring drums in, it's of the devil. Do you ever hear people say that? Okay, yeah, and listen, it was just the culture of the day. How many people know in other countries? Come on, we have different musical instruments. Like, you're not going to bring the organ over into the middle of, like, I don't know, an Eastern Asian culture. You know, like, they don't get the organ, but they have those other cool instruments that they worship the Lord with our whole heart. So preferences change from generation to generation to era. What the Lord really cares about is, number one, he loves instruments. We found out in the Bible. In the tabernacle of David, there was, like, not just one instrument. They weren't just limited to some people just like the soft sound of the keyboard. I love that. It's beautiful. You know, my husband Brad, I think he's super attractive, and he sits on my couch with an acoustic guitar. Now, he loves playing electric guitar. That's like his happy place. But sometimes he'll whip out the acoustic guitar, and I'm just like, oh, honey. He wears a black t-shirt and plays that acoustic. That's my preference, right? Okay? What God cares about is the heart behind it, right? He loves instruments. He wants you to play them with sincerity in the right time and the right place, right? Okay? So, for instance, how about this? In a football game, did you know, raise your hand if you like football. Come on. Raise your hand if you like the marching band. I do. I like the marching band. I sat at lunch with the people that were in the band. Couldn't play for the life of me, but I supported it, right? Okay, there's a time and a place that they get in the middle of the field, the marching band does, and then the color guard comes out. As a unified, it was a time and a place for it, but it wasn't in the middle of the play. Come on, all you football players, if the marching band just kind of went out, like, come on, they just made it all about the marching band, but it wasn't the time and the place. And isn't it good we have mature coaches and people that kind of say, okay, here's the time and the place for everything. All right. It's about the heart. So God loves when we passionately worship him with instruments. So 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. We talked about this last week. There were 4,000 musicians. Raise your hand if you're a musician. In the tabernacle of David, there were 4,000 of you guys that had, like, drums and stringed instruments and flutes and trumpets and whatever. And guys, right now you don't see a lot of trumpets per se. But how do I say this also carefully? There's a time and a place. By the way, I was from the generation of ska. Anybody a ska person? Come on. I graduated in the year 2000. There's something called, it's a weird term, a skank dance. It's not skanky. It was just called the skank dance from the, come on, anyone with me? Come on. We went to prom together, right? I am not going to demonstrate it. It was like hairpins everywhere. And it was like a lot of like this. And hairpins were flying. It wasn't suggestive at all. And there were like, the ska band had lots of horns and trombones and things like that. It was just, we loved it. And at that time, you saw some more of them in worship. And right now, it's just a different trend in music or whatever. But no matter what, if you come into a church and you bring your trumpet or your instrument or your acoustic guitar or your bass player, there's a time and a place. You probably should try out for the team, right? Because if you kind of do that in the middle of the service, or you get the horn in the back, why they're doing we do things in unity and in decency and order. I'm kind of talking in code. Are you guys following me? You catching the heart behind it? All right. So the Lord loves music. He loves it. He invented music. How many people like music? You know, there's some people that believe that they teach in their church music is of the devil. And therefore, you can't have any music. You can only sing a cappella. And that really works. It's beautiful. I love a cappella. I think it's stunningly beautiful. If you have really good singers that can read music, right? And listen, I've been to church and they're beautiful and I'm not criticizing them, but isn't it great that God created music and he loves it when we worship him with our whole heart? Even it changes from generation to generation. So it's really good to find within the culture a time and a place and to be unified with some maturity, where you kind of figure out, like the coach, okay, now's the time when the band comes out. Now's the time when the color guard comes out. And we want to keep the focus in the right places, but it's all about him. Does that take a strong team to do that? Hear me out. It takes a strong team to do it well. Because you know what? Sometimes you step on each other's toes accidentally. There's a difference between accidentally and on purpose, right? Come on, and the marching band, if you're not paying attention, someday, you ever watch somebody kind of like get in the wrong way, and then all of a sudden they're supposed to do a formation, and it's, whoop. Come on, anybody bandies out there? Come on. We ate lunch together in high school. Come on. All right. The Lord is a person. He has distinct personality and preferences. All right? So we're going to now dive into some of the ways that he loves to be loved, that David discovered, and he said, hey, bring that with you into the new covenant. I loved it. I want to do more of it, okay? At the right time in the right place. All right. Psalms 141, verse 2. says, let my prayer be counted as incense before you with the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. David is saying, I'm lifting up my hands as a living sacrifice to the Lord because it cost me something, probably your pride. All right? God loves hands for some reason. I don't know, but not everybody has hands, and I'm not making fun of those that don't. But it's one of those ways he just loves it. Okay? So Psalms 134, verse 2, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. The Hebrew word yad, Y-A-D, means hand. Yad, hands. Okay, ever heard the term yada? Okay, I'm probably mispronouncing things. Yada means to wave your hands. Okay, it's an English transliteration of yada is the word Judah. So I'm saying, what if you guys are tracking with me, hands, Judah, praise. Hands, actually, when you say the word hands in Hebrew, ready for this? They immediately go in their brain, praise. Okay, so this Hebrew word Judah means praise, and in the Hebrew mind, when you say the word praise, they instantly in their brain, it means waving your hands to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? God loves us offering a sacrifice of praise. Not everybody has hands, not everybody has arms, but it's one of those ways he just loves it. Did you know there are people in beautiful marriages that might not actually have? My sister had a kindergarten teacher, one of the most beloved teacher of all times, amazing woman of God, and she was called to be a kindergarten teacher. She was missing an arm. Was it cancer? I can't remember. Did that limit her how much she loved those kids? She couldn't wrap her arms around them, but oh man, that woman branded my sister and our family that I'm talking about her almost 40 years later because it's the heart behind, but it's just one of the ways in our culture we hug people with our arms, okay? So 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, it says, I desire then that in every place men should pray lifting holy hands to the Lord. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and in even modern day, this sacrifice of praise, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of receiving. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, the King James Version says this, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share with those for such sacrifices, God is well pleased and glorifies his name. And I talked about this last week in the Tabernacle of David. So goodness, like we want to continually be praising the Lord, whether we're saying it or singing it or being thankful in our food and so forth. And he also says we should be generous in our resources and our finances to give unto the body of Christ. These are sacrifices of praise and to the Lord, okay? So now I want to get into a really cool point. And the Lord said, rewrite your message because you got to hit this one. I said, okay, Lord, how many know it's good to be obedient, even if it costs you going to bed at midnight? All right, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. All right, how many people know this? We talked about it last week. In the new covenant, we became a kingdom of priests unto the Lord. In 1 Peter 2, 5, this is written by the Apostle Peter. It says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. The body of Christ. We're a spiritual house. Praise God. To be a holy priesthood. Raise your hand if God is calling you out to be a holy priesthood. Guess what? No one got excluded. If you gave your life to Jesus, he is calling you to be a priest unto our God. And it says this, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So it's about our heart in him, right? So now, not just on Sunday, we're here on Sunday. Raise your hand if God called you to be a priest. But he called you to be a priest on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, so where are you going with this, Pastor Sherry? All right, so let me give you some scripture before I hit this one. All right, believers in Jesus Christ in the New Testament are all called a kingdom of priests to God. Revelations 1, 5 through 6. From Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to God and our Father. Raise your hand if he's calling you out as a priest to God. Everyone. Yes, I'm the pastor. But guess what? Did you know you can pastor your family? Did you know you can pastor your coworkers? Did you know you could have a Bible study in your home or in the break room and pastor your neighbors? Feed, guide, protect. How beautiful is that? What do priests do? They offer sacrifices first and foremost to the Lord. And now I'm going to hit this one. Ready? and also unto others. They serve first the Lord with the right heart. And when you serve the Lord with the right heart, it keeps the right heart when you serve others selflessly. And we're quick to forgive when they step on our toes. Right, band members? When you, oh, I stepped on their toe. Okay. Sometimes we get out of sync, out of unity. Got to learn to roll with it better, guys. Okay, here we go. Revelations 5:10. You have made them, if you're the them, raise your hand, a kingdom of priests to our God. All right, so priests minister to the Lord with spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was internal from the heart. The word worship, what does it mean? To lay your life down, to prostrate yourself, to lay down, to put, whether that be on your face or on your knees or bowing to the Lord, there is a laying of your life down. Ready for this? For the Lord first and now for others. Raise your hand if you're a priest. Raise your hand if you're also others. Oh, okay, now here's where we're going here. The reason we're called to worship the Lord, both internally, is to keep the heart right, but did you know the internal flows to the external? Brad loves me with his whole heart, but isn't it great when he says it? Isn't it great when he gives me a hug? Isn't it great when he folds my laundry sometimes? Oh my goodness, right? Christians are called to be priests, and that means that we go to church to worship the Lord internally and externally. It also means we go to church not as consumers. Oh, here we go. There's something in our culture. Come on, we kind of joke about generations being an entitlement culture. We have a culture that everywhere we go, whether it be a restaurant or a store or a church, we start rating them. Oh, is this 3 stars, 4 stars? They got to earn my 4 stars. I'm going to go ahead and rate them. Just come down kind of judging. We go to consume. How do you serve me best? And I will pick a church that serves my interests and my preferred way of worship, the way I like to do it in their culture the best. Oh, okay. Now, Joyce is following me now. Consumer mindset is always rating because it's all about me. Is it? But when you're, raise your hand if you're a priest. Raise your hand if you're others. So when we go to church, we worship him first with our whole heart, laying our lives down physically, right? Whether, raising your hands or singing to the Lord, we're going to talk about those later. And we also lay our lives down to serve others. I'm going to talk about this in the Tabernacle of David. There were all ways of serving things that had to get done in the church. They served with their whole hearts. We have ushers, we have greeters, we have the sound team. I'll talk about it all. We have children's ministries. Guys, raise your hand if you're a priest. Raise your hand if you're others. We're not consumers. We're not rating other people. I didn't like how she didn't give enough green crayons to my son because my last name is Green. Let me tell you how we ran children's church back in my day. Everybody got 4 green crayons. Come on. Come on, what do we do? It's so funny. What's really sad, on social media and websites, you can rate other people's churches. Oh, we have the wrong mindset. Well, I didn't like how Pastor Sherry mispronounced that Greek word. Sorry, guys, I didn't get I majored in pastoral care and counseling. I didn't get 4 stars in Greek. I'm doing my best here. That's it. I'm going to another church where they pronounce all the Greek words right. And they get 4 green crayons. Come on. Raise your hand if you are. This is what the Lord told me to rewrite everything at midnight. Super fun. Raise your hand if you are a priest unto the Lord. Raise your hand if you're others. We are not consumers. We worship him with our whole heart. We lay our lives down for him. And in our heart, and also in external ways of demonstrating love. Okay, and we're talking about worship, but also for others. Isn't it beautiful? We have some people with physical limitations in our church, and they are profoundly amazing, men and women of God. And isn't it great when we stop to go help them get through the doors because it's harder for some people? I have a sweet team that helps me get 2 little toddlers with, noses and snot and, bottles and, dropping things along the way, and they help me. The greeters and the ushers, we worship the Lord with our whole heart, but we also lay our lives down for each other. In the Old Testament and the New, the priests served the body of Christ first to the Lord. It kept their heart right because, we step on toes. Guys, we are not a church of consumers. It is not about, did they preach my favorite topic? Did they lead worship the way I liked it? They didn't have enough horns up there, and I want to do my, you know, the ska dance. We'll just call it the ska dance. It's weird. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about from the 90s? No. I'm telling you, I had perfect hair going into prom, and after this, my, just, it was like a potted plant. It was, I have pictures to prove it. I like to dance and celebrate. Okay. Well, they didn't do it my style. They didn't play my favorite song. All right. But when you're a priest, it's not about that, is it? All right. So if they go off key for some reason, or they don't play your favorite song, or you didn't like the one lyric. I had some people, listen, in a culture that there was one lyric that they didn't like, and they just went, the rest of worship. Ah, that wasn't unscriptural. You lost the whole point of it, guys. Don't disconnect, all right? We are priests. So 1 Chronicles 16, 4 through 37, the tabernacle of David was a diverse group of different teams. Guys, it's decency and order. You got to get on the right team, right? And learn to work together as a team. And, you know, if the color guard and the marching band and the football team can all learn to work together, because we got to get some good coaches out there. And, you know, they have leadership within all of them to kind of discern and how to practice and work together. So all the attention stays on him, the Lord, okay? 1 Chronicles 16, 4 through 37. We will not read it all. Go back and read it. Tabernacle David, diverse different teams. And it said this, verse 37, to serve regularly before the ark of the Lord's covenant, doing whatever needed to be done each day. Pastor D, you love that one. Should I read it again? Pastor D loves this one. Come on, this is Pastor D's love language. This is God's love language too. Raise your hand if you're a priest. Raise your hand if you're others. It says this, there's this diverse group of people with different talents and different gifts. And how people know you are so glad I don't try to play drums like my friend Lane, who I've tried to sit behind for the last 25 years so I can keep a beat. You don't want me playing drums. But I'll tell you what, me and Deb, we're good huggers. Right? Come on. Deb and I like to hug, and we like to listen and talk and love. Come on. Right, Deb? We might not be the drummers, but man, we are priests to the Lord. We worship the Lord. We love people. That's right. Come on. Come on. There's a team for that. Man, join the greeting team with Pam. That is a form of ministry. Ushers, there are things that got to get done. We pass out the communion elements. Let's do it unto the Lord in unity with some organizations so we can all what flow together. The marching band with the color guard, with the music. And there's so many different ways here, right? Whatever needed to be done each day, we did it with the right heart internally, and it overflowed to external. Yeah, I'm going to talk about hands and knees, head, shoulders, hands and teeth. I'm going to talk about, but I'm also, they're serving the Lord, okay? Do you know the sound team? I'm telling you, that was a way of worship, because David actually set up, I'll have to go back to the verse, a sound team that would record the songs that the Lord would write spontaneously. I thank God for the sound team. I thank God for the wonderful people sitting back in the booth so we can hear, and we get microphones, and that's a way to worship the Lord with excellence out of your whole heart and what we're laying our lives down. Because, you know, some of them, I know they'd love to be up front and to clap and sing, and, you know, sometimes something goes wrong online, and they lay their lives down so other people can worship that can't physically be here. We have some people that are shut in due to some health issues. I thank God for the sound team that allow them to be able to worship from home with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So, as I'm rolling into some things, as we're priests, we worship internally with our whole heart and externally to the Lord, and we also lay our lives down for each other, okay? I want us to ask, number one, Lord, how do you want me to serve the body of Christ? What team would you like me to be on? And if we step on each other's toes, give me grace so we can learn to flow together better. Because we're on different teams, but we're all the same team, the body of Christ. And now I will go into the other external way. Lord, how do you want me to worship you with my whole heart? What are the different ways that you just love it? Mountain bikes and all, but come on. What way do you really want me to worship you? So we talked about one of the ways. There's many different ways, because not everybody, like I said, has hands, arms, okay? There's the lifting of hands. But I'll say this, there's a saying and declarations of love and adoration. I love when my husband tells me how much he loves me and why he loves me. Isn't that great? you know, you can just say you love someone. It doesn't say, I love you because, number one, just period. I love you, period, right? But man, thank you so much that you went out, like, and it was starting to rain, and excuse me, you mowed the lawn. And you put Zeke out there. And my husband fixed the car again and again and again and again and again. He laid his life down at inconvenient times. Gets up early to go to the salvo down Eichelberger's, you know, yard. You know, you've been there. You got to go. Thank you. I can't even do it. Salvo, you know, he went to go pick apart some cars so we could fix our car and live within budget. And he did it at the crack of dawn on Saturday, right? And he got up earlier so he could help me with the kids. I love you and I see you. Thank you. Okay? It's good to be specific and say these things. It also is good to sing, guys. Did you know God loves your terrible singing voice? Come on. Guys, you ever had like a friend like just break out in song, sing you a song for your birthday? Come on. How many people love when everybody, there's nothing worse when it's like crickets. Happy birthday to you. Do you know what we love? When the whole family, it's actually better if you sing off key. By the way, that's why we have loud music at your Christian fellowship. Why do I like it loud? Because then I'm not distracted by all you wonderful people that might be off key, including myself half the time. That's why we do it loud here. If you like quiet worship, you're going to hear a lot of off key singing. So, you know, whatever way you like it. All right, whatever way doesn't distract you. All right, singing to the Lord. What? A new song. Did you know God will give you a song? When we're singing up here, I start just singing a phrase. It just comes out of my heart. I'm so grateful. Right? All right, so 1 Chronicles 16, 4, 8, and 31. David appointed the following Levites to lead people in worship before the ark of the Lord, and then invoked his blessing to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Thankfulness, gratitude, okay? And these new songs just bubble up from your heart, okay? God loves your terrible singing voice, so don't hold back. But turn it up back there in the sound booth. Okay, here we go. So, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's in Psalms 100, verse 1, and Psalms 98, verse 4. So if you're croaking because you lost your voice at the football game the night before, still come to church and just croak it out. And once again, we're going to turn the volume up. Okay. So it also says this, and Pastor D, I'm so glad that you felt led of the Holy Spirit. It was the appropriate time to praise and shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph and victory. And sometimes we shout unto him in faith that he's going to do what he promised to do. So, did you know what the word hallelujah means? It means praise the Lord. So, you know what? If you forget, that's okay. Just say praise the Lord. And if you hear someone say hallelujah, that's what they're saying. Praise the Lord. Okay. How many people know, like, in Spanish, they might, what is it? Gloria a Dios, right? Something like that. Praise the Lord. Okay, hey, kick back in. Okay. We praise the Lord, and there's a time to shout. But the time to shout is not during that quiet, sweet, intimate moment. Because I've been in so many church services where somebody does, ah, Jesus! Not the right time. So let's be discerning, okay? But are we going to love them if they stepped on our toe? Yes. But decency and order, right? There's a unity. There's a unity. You kind of got to be sensitive to what the Lord's doing, okay? Guys, if I didn't teach these things, we'd just be stuffy in here. Come on, you know? All right, here we go. All right, so I'm keep quoting the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done in decency and order. Let's do things together. In a spirit of unity, okay? So 1 Chronicles 16:38, the tabernacle of David again. After leading worship in songs with instruments, ready? After they had this time, they're leading the songs in worship. There was singing, there was dancing, there's these things. And then at the end, it says this, and all the people shouted, amen. It's in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. They shouted, praise the Lord, which, hallelujah, or glory a Dios, okay? And amen. Did you know saying amen is a way of saying, let it be so, let it be so. It's affirming the word of God spoken. That's a form of worship. But how many people know there's a time and a place for everything? No names. I've seen it all. There was that guy. Everybody knows that guy. No guy, no names, no names, no name. He would say amen after every sentence. And it wasn't just amen. It was amen. 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 I mean, like, literally, I mean, like, you know, I don't need that much affirmation. Neither does the worship team or even God. There's a time and a place. We know, right? Because he was kind of making it weird, and he's making it all about him. But listen, Jesus loves him and his mountain bike. Okay. But guys, let's be sensitive in our spiritual maturity. There's a time and a place. And there's a way we do things. Guys, we're not going to figure it out unless we kind of figure it out along the way, right? All right. Let's see here. All kinds of fun stuff. All right. 1 Chronicles 15:29, David danced before the Lord with his whole heart. Isn't that beautiful? But you know what? If you feel like, you know, God wants you, I like moving. I'm terrible. I'm not a cute dancer. Like I said, once again, hairpins everywhere. Ah, you know, just I'm into it, whatever. Listen, I'm not going to go do backflips up the front and then jump on stage and be like in the middle of worship, am I? I hope not, right? Because I'd be very distracted. Now listen, guys, I know I'm, you hear me, I have to stumble through this a little bit because how many people have been around a long time? I feel like I've seen it all. But there's a spirit of unity. There's decency. There's order. There's what you got to be sensitive to what the Lord's doing. But hey, if you want to dance, man, you know, just, I like to dance, you know, at my seat, but I don't go jump up on the stage and take Brad's guitar because the Holy Spirit told me and do like a air guitar. I had a friend named Casey. No, that was the name. Anyways, we'd be dancing or whatever, and she would get into, we were not good dancers. My friends and I were never good dancers, but we were spirited. And sometimes in the middle of be like, and I'm like, she gets in and she does an air guitar. just into it. And it became the joke of our friends. But guys, do you want to jump up on stage and grab Brad's guitar or just do air guitar? Like, come on, guys. There's sometimes in our maturity, we have to read the room, right? Okay, you're growing. This is why God puts some good leadership in your life. We got to figure it out. Are we figuring it out? Okay. All right. Psalms 149, verse 3. Let them praise his name and dance. Jesus loves us, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it also says these are ways that he loves to be worshiped. It also says he loves clapping. I sat under some weird teaching where they said, you can't clap in church. And they took some scripture out of context. I'm like, really? We do that throughout our culture at the time and the place, right? In the middle of the speaker, I don't stand up and clap, but there's a time and a place, right? And worship and things like that. There's a time and a place. We clap our hands at appropriate joyful moments. By the way, God is not glorified in you being a stick in the mud. We're supposed to do these things with joy. So my circle, how many people know life is really hard? It's hard. And people are jerks. And probably three people cut you off on the way here and, you know, just, yeah. But God asks you to be joyful. Joy is a choice. Joy takes maturity. Joy says it's not all about me, it's about him. And if my husband has a really bad day on Valentine's Day and he comes in and slams that door and throws the chocolate-covered strawberries there. He had a bad day. He's making it all about him, but he doesn't do that. Do you hear me? I'm using my husband as an example. It's in a relationship. We choose joy, even if we had a hard day, to love and honor and reverence the Lord with our whole heart. Okay. All right. Psalms 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all people, shouting to God with loud songs of joy. The Berean Standard Version says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalms 98, verse 8, clap your hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy. So, you know, I'm going to say this in a sporting event, kind of end on this thought. But how many people love a good football game, especially when your team's winning? All right, we can learn a lot. Or basketball. There's a time to clap and shout, isn't there? But there are some very strategic moments when we're not supposed to be clapping and shouting, like when there was just a major play and they thought it might be a foul and we might win the game or might not, and there we're waiting for that speaker on the PA to announce it. And if someone gets up and decides to do back, and you miss what he's saying, that wasn't the right time. Come on. There's a right time and place. Read the room, okay? But I also will say this, when it comes to athletic events and sporting, if you can't clap, sing, or shout in church at the kind of right time and right place, but you can do it at an athletic event, then it might have just shined a light on the idols in our lives. We should at least be able to do it with the right time and the right place with the same amount of enthusiasm. How many people know? I sing the anthem. Half the time I get the words just, I cry. Mom and I cry. I have people in my family that served in the military and gave their life in the military. I take that song seriously. So whether you have a good voice or not a good voice at all, what I sing, even if it's off key, right? Can we sing, even if it's off key, with our whole heart? There's a right time to clap and sing and shout, especially when we're winning, and even in the somber moments, right? I want to say this, praise and worship is very manly. I married a great one. I'll tell you, I was like dating him. I was like, I'm gonna marry him. I knew I was ready to marry him. I had to wait, man. It was almost 2 years. Whew. All right. We can clap and we can sing, and when they sang our song and they stomp, come on. You know the words. Every man in this house knows the words. We can clap, we can stomp. We're looking for the right time and the place. You guys following me? As a group, as a team, okay. All right, let's stand up. This is me toned down too, man. I was like planning on going big on this one, but I didn't want to lose my voice. I want to challenge some of the religious, I don't know, thing. I want to just challenge religion. I hate religion. I declare war on religion, man. Taking scriptures out of context for their own agenda. I want to say this as a church. I think this is a good chiropractic adjustment. How many people know you got to get adjusted in the word of God to loosen up? Now, am I calling in the circus? No. There is no circus in here. I'm calling your hearts, and I'm calling us to just always fight to focus on the Lord. I want to do this with my whole heart. I just want a whole heart. And there's many different ways. You might not physically, I didn't even get down to getting on your knees. I just talked a little bit about it. But there's some things I want to say this. When we come to church, ask the Lord, Lord, you called me a priest because I gave my life to Jesus. How would you like me to, number one, how help me to refocus my heart, whether I had a bad day or a Christian was a jerk to me or not, to be fully present, to worship you with my whole heart internally. Lord, how do you want me to worship you externally today? Lord, would you like me to lift my hands? Lord, would you like me to go to my knees? Lord, would you just like me to focus on all those words? Or would you like me to just to say a new song unto you? Would you like me just to give thanks to you? And then what? How would you like me to lay my life down for other people in this church? What team would you like me to join? Help me to not take it personal when they step on my toes. Internal and external. And there's my challenge to you. I will say this. When you ask the Lord, and he's not a formula, he doesn't make you do the same old thing every week. He'd get bored with that too. Come on, I love eggs and bacon. But you know, it's nice to have a waffle every once in a while. Come on, my husband made waffles last week, man. Ask the Lord how he wants to be served in worship. And sometimes you will sense it's just time to do something I don't feel like doing, because this is what we call a prophetic act of obedience. And I could teach this on a different day. But when we respond to the Lord, first internally, and it overflows to external, towards other people, and the Lord might say, hey, that single dad over there, he's really struggling right now. And I want you to just take him and his kids out for lunch, or just buy them groceries, whatever. Whatever it may be, there might be something you do to serve the body of Christ. Or he might just say, today is the first day ever. I want you to just put one hand on your heart and the other hand, half mass. And just say, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender. I surrender all. Brad, can you sing? Because I can't. Give me the cue. You can say it. You can see it. Let's do a loud and off key. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. One more time. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. The Lord loves you singing and saying, but most of all, he loves your whole heart. And there are sometimes he has you do things that you don't feel like doing, because that's called a sacrifice of praise. And whether it's running to open up the door for someone, to joining the ushers team or the kids ministry, changing a diaper, or singing loud to the Lord. Sometimes these things bring the greatest breakthrough and healing in our life, because it's not about us. Amen. You are loved. Have a wonderful afternoon. Invite someone to lunch. If you'd like prayer for anything, the altars are open. If I could have maybe five different grow group leaders to pray with you. Have a great afternoon.